Today, we will be going back in time of the Luther generation. My grandpa, along with a bunch of other relatives, are an inspiration on how I live my life. Since my grandpa was a military Marine, he knows how to give the best advice and how to get over the seem-to-be impossible situations. Find out more on this interview, The Trip Luther Experience.
Hey buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm here to interview you and ask you a couple questions,
alright?
So I'll start off with this. What was your life like whenever you were a kid?
It was chaotic. I was very much into activities when I was young, in sports, and playing different sports, and then athletics, and then I was into academics and trying to get through school.
When you mention athletics, what athletics?
I played football, and I played lacrosse, and then I did wrestling. And the one sport that really enjoyed me and got me through high school and kept me focused was lacrosse.
All right. Second question is, I understand that you were in the military for a while. Now I wanted to ask, what inspired you to enroll in the military?
Well, part of it was 1970. Right now, during the height of the Vietnam War, and I had two options. I went in the military and enlisted and got on the plane. I went in the office.
Do you ever miss the military?
I don't miss the military. What I did get out of the military was a better structure of how I put my life together than I needed to do the other day. But it was also the people that you worked with in the military. You were put in situations that stressed you quite a bit, and you had to rely on those people around you to cover your back. Those are people you really miss to listen to all your life as you go through your own things and you become a family that is very highly missed together.
Do you believe that you gained much more discipline after the military?
Oh, yes. My life going into college was somewhat of a wild life, okay? It wasn't very structured. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. When I went into the military, made me more self-sufficient for myself and made me more appreciative of what other people were doing for me, and it gave me a real focus on what I needed to do in my life.
That's great to hear. So we're going to shift on to another topic, and I understand that you like race cars and you like to build them, right? How did you get started with building race cars?
That's a funny story. How I started was through my church group. In my Sunday school, there was another fellow gentleman that was my age, and he knew that I had a truck and that I was pulling a camp around and traveling all around the United States. And he needed somebody to pull another race car. All he was looking for was somebody to pull the other race car and let us trail. Came over and asked if I would pull it, and I said, sure, I'm going to pull it. They had no idea what the race was. They didn't have any idea what he was doing to build their car. But what happened is I got involved with them, and all of a sudden we're starting to build engines and build the race cars, getting ready for Bonneville. And then we take 14 hours to drive these trailers to Utah. We put them on the racetrack, and we've got 5 days to try and get top speed, and it was funny. The competition is not against individuals and individual teams and teams. It's between you and time. So all your competitors that were there, who would support you because they wanted you to beat the time. So they would load your equipment, they load you whatever you needed to get the race car running, and then everybody pitched together to get the car to perform. And it was that type of a close bond that you met with all the people that were together inside. It got me excited about racing.
That's interesting. Are you still in contact with those people?
Yes, I am. Three of them, Phil Race, on the Bill Race. The other one, he's semi-retired, but he's rebuilding cars. So he keeps inviting me over to help him rebuilding the cars. And it's become a hobby that's been a good getaway. Get my hands on it.
All right, so what was a driving point for you to buy a Lake House?
I've always wanted to know. It's really more about the grade. It wasn't so much, I've been raised on water, I love the water, it's very relaxing to be on the lake. But then I look at my grandkids and I'm trying to give them an opportunity to have a place that they can get away. That, you know, they don't have to feel the pressure of it, they can just come up and relax and just survive it and do what they like. So, it's more a place that I really felt that it's developed our family and the kids to be able to have memories that you can go up there and remember the times when you were going through high school and playing on the lake and together in the lake and then maybe do that as well.
Personally, do you think that was a good purchase?
Well, from a financial standpoint, was it the smartest decision? Probably not. But from a enjoyment to see my family grow up and enjoy it, yeah, it was the right decision. Okay. So I couldn't look at it from a financial standpoint. I had to look at the standpoint of what to bring the family together and they can enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And when are you going to send me my check?
I'm going to get that back. We'll talk about that. Alright, shifting on to another point. I understand that you grew up in Vermont with dad and all of that. Do you ever miss living in the mountains like that?
I do. We moved down here 4 years ago and living up in the northeast of Vermont. It was a different lifestyle, and my lifestyle was different. That time I was much younger. I would cut cords of wood for heating the house. We had a small little house, but you had a very tight community. And you went through the winters and you worked together again through the winters and then the summers you would wood. And so, being here in Houston, I've missed the season. I miss Christmas. I miss snow. I miss the falls and springs and the colors that change in the mountains. Even living on the top of the mountain. In the valley, and I can see the leaves spraying across the valley. Yes, I miss it. So I miss the cold.
The cold is best. The more important question is, do you miss skiing after all those injuries? Do you wish you could go back out there and ski double black diamond?
I do miss being on the slopes, but I realize my maturity and my physical ability. I realize I've grown old enough that I don't need to be on skis. I do enjoy watching people on skis. I enjoy being on slopes. And I don't mind being on slopes on the lower slopes where I can take it easy. And I just get a rhythm to my skis. And I can still enjoy that. And I do miss that. But the issue is, okay, I'd much rather see you jumping off the ski lift and doing a flip. So I get more joy out of watching you ski.
Alright, so we're coming close to the end of the interview, and I want to leave this on like a lot on your note. And my question is, what is the worst trouble dad has ever gone through?
Oh,
that better great. Make it so good.
Happened. It's an open indoor box. I think the most challenging time that I had with your dad was through his high school years and 14 years.
father was very independent. He wanted to try and do it his way. That was fine. But to try and to open his eyes to what education meant to him, that was very difficult. He thought he could do it on his own and give me himself. But when he got out there, he started realizing, oh, this is not as easy. And I can tell you, that was the hardest time of his senior year in high school, going into his freshman year. And all of a sudden, once he got in college, it turned around. He started realizing a little bit more about the reality of life and what he had to do. And he became more receptive to my ideas. Not that my ideas were right, it's a matter that he was listening to my ideas. But he was a junior and a senior, and he didn't want to listen to my opinions. But he grew up so much in that freshman year that he started realizing that what I was saying was I was not criticizing him. I was trying to give advice in some easier ways in life than he did for him. I think that was the hardest time for me in the freshman year.
Do you think you pushing him really changed him to who he is right now? Do you think if you would have just been let him off, even if you could have been a successful businessman?
No. No. If I had been any easier on him, he would have taken advantage of it and probably gotten more on the ground. I was the strict one in the family. Mom was actually stricter than I was. But I think one of the things that helped him become where he is today was we were able to listen to him and then try and communicate with him. And then he repeated that over and over, and then he found his own path. But it was, you know, you can do it easier, you can do it harder, okay? He was going to do it his way, and I had to be able to listen to him and then try and bring him back into what he needed to do. So I'm happy the way I raised him. I think he turned out to be a fantastic father, and I think
Alright, thank you very much for your time. You're welcome. As you can see, this interview, I'll explore the topics on how my grandpa grew up, how he enlisted in the military, how he bought a condo, how he enjoys skiing, and how my dad was whenever he was a kid. These topics helped me explore what type of guy my grandpa is. I learned that he is a loving, funny, and amazing human being. And I feel that this interview got me personally closer to my grandpa. Thank you for listening to my podcast, The Trip Luther Experience, closing out.